everything in life comes down to one thing. That is feeling whole. Feeling like we're complete. But yet, we go out into the environment looking for things to fill those voids. Today, I want to share with you a new tool I just came up with on how to feel whole no matter what. Let's go get that nugget. Hey guys, it's Jen Mack, Lady of the Mind. Welcome to today's episode where I hope I am finding you feeling whole. If you're not feeling whole, then it is my intention that in today's episode, I give you just one nugget of inspiration towards your transformation. I want to share with you a new tool that I basically just came up with. You know, I love using acronyms for things, and I love those acronyms to be a word instead of just a bunch of different letters. And I like the acronym to mean something by itself, even if you don't remember what the word is. And it's one of my favorite. I don't know why, or I probably came up with it with some other, you know, speaker, teacher somewhere along the line and doing business teachings and making things easy for your clients. And, but anyway, so I did some coaching this last week, had some weird things happen in my life that, you know, I dug through in my childhood and uncovered some things that were preventing me from living my best self because of things in my childhood. And as an energy healer and an intuitive coach, you know, we do a lot of that. We kind of dig back into our childhood and things that we picked up on from our peers or our parents. And we adopted some sort of a belief about that thing. And I remember as a kid that, you know, I had a hard time. I had two very dominating people that I lived with, and that was my older brother, who's 16 months older than me, and my mom, very dominating personalities. And I also have a dominating personality, but the youngest in the family, I didn't really get that stage time, if you will. And I was cut off. I was interrupted. My ideas were stupid. You know, I was the youngest. I didn't get a lot of that talk time. And then in school, you know, here I am, this little girl who's, I feel like, you know, I wish my mom would have waited a year before she put me in school. I always felt like I wasn't academically prepared, like with my peers. And I have a September birthday and right at the beginning of the month. And it's like, she just turns 5. Goo, let's go. Let's put her in kindergarten, you know. And I do wish that my mom would have waited. I think I would have had a better academic career. But I remember in school, there were things that I just didn't get. Like I spent so much of my time thinking, I just don't understand. I don't understand the jokes that my peers are talking about. I don't understand these things that are going on around me. I felt like I was always confused. And I remember raising my hand in a couple of different classroom settings and different teachers that I had throughout the years and raising my hand to ask a question. And of course, the teacher probably already said it 12 times. And usually the teacher's response was less than stellar. It was, you know, I would get in trouble for asking the question because he mentioned it several times, or he would give me some sarcastic response but didn't actually answer the question, and the kids would laugh at me. Well, that like stifled my talk, right? It stifled me from being who I was meant to be, and it changed the whole course of my life going forward, because now by the time I graduate, I still don't feel like I know anything. I don't feel very smart. And so it took a while. And it was probably not, I graduated in 90 and about 94 or 95 or something like that, in that, you know, a bad relationship. And I made a decision that I wanted a healthy, happy relationship. And it led me to a book. And that was the start of my whole journey of reading thousands of books in the course of, you know, the next 30 years. And actually more than, well, yeah, because I was 22, yeah, 30 years. And I love reading. I'm sitting in my office / library right now, and I have over 400 books in my quote library. And I love buying them. I love collecting them. And I think, you know, I'm addicted to reading. I'm addicted to learning. I love, love, love it more than anything in life. I love learning. I love teaching. That comes a close second. And I know a lot of things. Well, it's important to me to convey those things. Well, one thing that I realized as I'm working with my coach and we're traveling back in time, and she's like, you know, this thing about your speaking and your, you know, the way that you talk and how you talk. And she's like, where does it start? And I, you know, I talk about this time and, you know, with my parents, my mom and my brother, and being in the classroom and kind of being stifled. And I said, and it just, the light just lit on, and maybe you're already gathering it, but she's like, She's like, so, you know, what does that mean to your overall life? And I said, that's why I'm so in love with my podcast. I said, because I can say anything, I can do anything, I can record as many as I want, I can take a break, I can talk for as long as I want, I can talk about any topic, and nobody is interrupting me, nothing is happening, and I'm not stifled. And I think that when we look at our life, and we look at it from this perspective, that is these little stories about our life, and what do these things mean to us, and how does that relate to my storyline right now? I think there is something that we're filling based on our behavior. So if I didn't go down the personal development path, then the leadership development path to the entrepreneurial, then to spiritual development, I don't know that I ever would have figured that out. I would just be a person who has a dominating personality. I'm loud. I talk a lot. I talk fast. Sometimes I'm dominating in my conversation. It depends on my mood or point I'm trying to get across or whatever. And I never would have put the whole thing together. Then that led me to be thinking about if there's holes in my childhood where a need did not get fulfilled, then I am going to spend the rest of my life trying to fulfill that void from years and years ago. Like that, like meaning I didn't get to talk when I was a kid, that people didn't hear me, they didn't see me, I was teased, I was bullied, I was picked on. And I didn't get to express myself. There were things that I wanted to say that I didn't say because I was afraid of ridicule or teasing or being in trouble. And I didn't really start finding my voice until about ninth grade. Now, what happened in ninth grade? Well, by the time ninth grade came around, my brother had moved in with my dad. So it was just me and my mom. And I'm in school, but my brother's not there. And so now I can start to talk. And my mom kind of had her own thing going on. You know, back then she was dealing a lot with anxiety and depression as a single mother. You know, her son moves out, she's not married. And, you know, it's just me and her. And I was an easy kid. But I think that she had her own thing going on, and so I felt kind of alone. Well, now I'm in this big house in the country in a Catholic community, and I don't have really good friends. I'm dealing with this big thing in my life back then that I couldn't talk about. I felt very alone. I felt very ashamed. I was starting to kind of turn itself or manifest itself into anger that I'm living this life by myself. I didn't have any close friends. I had friends, but I'm dealing with this sexuality that I just didn't know what to do with. But I did know that in my mind, you just don't talk about it because it's not what everybody else is doing. It's not the same. And by the time ninth grade comes around, even though I didn't have words for it, I just knew that I was different. And I knew that I was living this fake lifestyle. Even, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th grade, I've kind of have a couple of boyfriends here and there, and I didn't want boyfriends. I had crushes on girls, and I just couldn't come out, if you will. So I'm dealing with this big thing, you know, and all kids deal with this, you know, as they hit puberty and they start dating and they start, you know, trying to figure out their way, and they don't always talk to their parents. Sometimes they talk to their friends. Well, there was no way I was going to tell my friend that I was gay. She had already made comments, you know, derogatory comments towards the generalization of gays and how disgusting they were. And, you know, there was one time that, I mean, we were best friends since I was like 6 or 7. And I remember we were going to a movie, and normally, I mean, we're probably in ninth grade, and actually probably were in ninth grade or 10th grade even, because I drove. And she's like, we should not sit together, you know, because I don't want people to think that we're lesbians. And that immediately like hit me rock solid. I mean, she's been my best friend since we were young. I'm now, you know, 16 years old. We're driving to the movies. And so 10 years of this friendship. And then immediately in that moment, I know that I cannot tell her because of that derogatory comment. And so from there, our friendship, we still sort of stayed friends, but I will say that it was kind of in the quiet, you know, like we were not friends at school, which was really bizarre. And we were not friends basically out in public. So I basically ignored her when I saw her in school, and she ignored me. And then we would sort of talk on the phone or, you know, hang out outside of school. It was this weird thing, right? And I felt like an outcast, and I felt like I didn't belong. And sometimes that carries through into my adulthood. Dude, I'm 51 years old. And 51 and a half, if you will. And sometimes I feel like I don't belong here. And I wonder if that's you. And today I want to tell you that you do belong here, and I'm here for you. And I've got my hand out and my heart open to be here for you and to tell you that you belong on this planet. And I hope that my episodes can give you a little solace in that I've got you. You know, I'm bearing my soul in my stories and in my past pain and the things that I've gone through and the things that, you know, I've learned along the way in hopes that it will elevate you and lift you up. And the next little thing with my coaching outside of that story is to understand that my behaviors today as a 51-year-old woman is I'm trying to fill those voids that were created when I was a kid, thinking that I wasn't good enough, I wasn't smart enough. And I've read thousands of books and taken hundreds of courses and gone on all these different events to consume this knowledge because I felt like I wasn't smart enough. And, you know, I'm acting a certain way and behaving a certain way with other people, then hoping that they will act a certain way to fill a void in me. And that void is an emotion. I want to feel smart, so I'm going to tell you some advice. I'm going to tell you something about the problem, even if you don't want help solving the problem, because it's going to make me feel smart. But if you don't respond in a certain way, then I don't get that same emotional response, then that feels terrible. And hopefully you're following all this. And this is kind of what we do. This is what I feel like is happening in the world, where we are going out and telling people how we want them to show up, how we want them to respond to us, so then it fills that void. So I want to use an acronym today because it was something that came full circle in my conversation with my coach that is like, you know, I feel like I want to be this high energy being and then I can take on the world. And as I'm standing back and thinking about what does that high energy mean? Because when I'm in a good mood, I feel like I can handle anything. I can handle any of the kids, what they do. I can handle traffic. I can handle, you know, crabby people out in the world. I can handle technology even, and I don't crack under pressure. Well, upon further dissection, it wasn't about high energy and feeling good or being in a good mood. It was about feeling whole. W-H-O-L-E. If I am feeling whole, then those voids are filled. I feel smart enough. I feel heard. I feel seen. I feel loved. I feel empowered. And I stand back and I look at my life and I go, I'm good as I am right now, which means if I'm feeling whole, I don't need anything from the outside world. I don't need anything from anyone else to fix me or to fill a gap or to fill a void in me. I get to allow you to show up however you want to show up because it doesn't matter to me because I'm whole. That also goes for any physical items that we want to acquire, that if I feel whole, then I don't need as much. The things that I want now are quality time, or I want to experience things or see things, but it doesn't feel like it's a need as if I'm thirsty and I need water. Because if there's something outside of me that I feel like I need, and I'm going to go out there to try to fill that void, it becomes this quest of insatiability. I'm never going to be satisfied. It's like drinking salt water. I'm never going to be satisfied. My thirst is never going to be satisfied. We are a consuming society. We're materialistic. We buy things. There's eBay and AliExpress and Temu, and I think Shine is the new one. There's an Amazon, of course. There's all these places that I can go online all night long, 24 hours a day, and I can shop my face off, and I can buy these useless items for, you know, pennies on the dollar. And I can acquire and get these things in the mail, and it feels kind of exciting. And then about 3 minutes later, I'm back online again shopping for more stuff. And so if that is you, something like that, that you are a part of this thing that is this insatiable quest to get a need met, is to ask yourself, what am I doing this for? Do I simply want that item? Do I need this item? Will I still want this item 6 months from now? Do I need this item? And if the answer is yes, then what do you need the item for? What need is it going to satisfy? Is it the act of buying the thing that is the thing? That, you know, just like when you get a gift, it's in the presence, not the presence, T, but TS, but the ENCE, the presence, being present with the item that is the unknown. I don't know what's in this box, that feels kind of exciting. But then you get the gift and you're like, oh, it's just another scarf, you know? So I ask you, as we dive into this next section here, is when there is something that you're shopping for, something that you feel like you want, or if it's even someone that you want them to act differently or do something differently, is to ask yourself, why do I want that? Why do I want them to do something different? Why do I want this purchased item? And what's at the base of it? Do I need it? And if I need it, what emotion am I trying to get fulfilled? And then let's move into this section. Because we spend a crap ton of money on endless items. And I'm looking in my office/library and I see things that I've bought on a whim. And I'm like, why do I even have that thing? Why is that here? Why do I need that? And so I'm a part of it too, you know, this consuming society. And so let's get to the acronym. The acronym is HOLE. WHOLE. And if you have a journal, if you have a notebook, I think you're going to want to take some notes, because I'm going to give you at the end, I want to give you a little bit of homework, is to fill out your own HOLE acronym and to meditate about each one of these words, which will be interchangeable. You'll be able to put in different words. I'll give you mine and then you can put in some of your own. And to be able to fill your own bucket, to fill your own void. All of those gaps that were created from our childhood and our adolescence and even our young adulthood, all of those beliefs, those stories that we tell ourselves that are not true. We're not good enough. We're not smart enough. We're not worthy. We're not deserving. That all of that is bullshit. All of it is. It's all fake. It's all wrong. It's not who we are. We are simply deserving and loving and worthy spiritual beings that's here on this planet to have this spiritual experience. And we are deserving. We are worthy. We are already whole, but it's in those stories that prevent it. And because somewhere, someplace, somebody teased you or teased or bullied you or said something, that we made this belief of, oh, I must not be good enough. And we believed it, didn't we? That's the thing that I find to be really ridiculous, is that, you know, I believed this classmate when he said that, you know, that was such a stupid question. You know, I believed him. And I thought somehow that those people were right. So let's get to the teaching. I want you to write the word whole. I want you to write it vertically down your paper. But I want you to leave, if you haven't already, it's okay. But I want you to leave a couple of lines in between, because I want you to fill in these words. So the goal to whole is to feel complete, no matter what. You can do this no matter what. No matter what is going on in your life, it is about you going inward, thinking and using your words and to create a different emotional state in your body simply because you say so. When I am going to go spend some money, I find it to be fun. I find it to be powerful. I find it to be where I'm like in control and it feels good. I can go to any store. I've got a lot of cool stores near me and I like to just buy stuff and I like to create things. And when I'm in the car and I'm feeling like that, I can take on the world. I feel amazing. And I always ask myself, I'm like, why am I going into town? Why am I going to buy things right now? And it's just fun. It's fun for me to do it, you know, and I'm going to work on some little project or something. Well, I can sit home and I can acquire the emotional state of fun without ever leaving the house. So I'm going to give you that trick too. So I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. So I want you to be writing the words down. And hold on just a second. I just wanted to make a couple notes so I didn't get sidetracked. And I remembered that I was going to give you homework. Okay, so let's go through the words. So HOLE is an acronym, and here's what it stands for me. Now, I'm going to go through this a couple of different times, so you don't have to write these words down, because the homework for you is going to be coming up with these emotional words for each of these letters that resonate with you. So the first one for me is wonder. I am really, really enjoying 2024 in the space of curiosity and wonderment, in being in the space like I'm curious. I wonder what this is going to lead to. I think I've mentioned at least once about my podcast platform that is going to be changing, and that the place that I put my podcast is going away, and I will be recording someplace else. And I'm sure that the RSS feed is still going to feed to Spotify and Apple and Google, but I'm also thinking of changing the name of my podcast. As soon as I make up all those decisions, you will know. I will have it in the write-up. I'll have it on the posts on the Facebook groups. I will have it throughout the podcast, you know, the actual episodes. So you will hear about it. And then, of course, you have access to me. So you can always send me an email to be like, hey, have you sent, you know, do you have a new name for the podcast? Am I missing something? Like, please just reach out and let me know. And also let me know how the podcasts are landing with you. Like, are you liking it? Are you hating it? Are you loving, you know, is there anything wrong? Do you, you know, give me some feedback. Like, I love hearing feedback because it's for you. I mean, it's for me. I love my podcast, but it's for you. And so I want you to get the most out of it. So when I heard that about the podcast and about the podcast platform basically is not going to be uploading podcasts to the site and it's changing and it, whatever it's doing it, you know, as a business owner, you don't want your technology to change without you being a part of it, right? It's hard when you get kind of a groove of things. It'd be like all of a sudden your email provider going, hey, we're not going to do this email anymore. And now you have to go to find some other new email provider if you're not a business owner. And be like, oh my gosh, you know, holy crap, like, what am I going to do? And where am I going to go? And do I go to Yahoo or Gmail or Hotmail or AOL or whatever? You know, it's like, it kind of creates this scramble. But I was able to sit back and wonder, okay, this is like divine intervention. Divine intervention is coming in and going, you know what, we're going to take you on a new road. And it's like a detour in the travels, you know, when you're driving across the state and there's a detour, you're like, oh man, that's going to cut 30 minutes out of our travels. It's like, maybe sit in wonderment. How can this enhance the travels? And then next thing you know, you're driving this country road that is amazing and beautiful. And there's this view of this vineyard or these mountains or, you know, an Amish family with a, you know, a horse and buggy. And it's just this, you're like, wow, or this giant pumpkin patch with tens of thousands of pumpkins. All of these have been, in my experience, taking a detour, all of them. But if I'm crabbing about it, you might miss those things. So the first one I like is the word wonder. Now, I have written other words, and I want to invite you to pick other W words. Now, these are all emotional words that are going to enhance your emotional state so you begin to feel whole. So that's how I chose these words. So the first one for me is wonder. There were some other ones. I put worthy, wise, and of course, whole. When I'm feeling wise and I'm feeling smart, then I don't necessarily feel like I have to go tell people about it. I don't need to put my advice on them or share big ideas with them. I can sit in my wholeness, if you will, and not feel like somebody out there outside of me has to fill that void for me. And that's kind of the end game here. Now let's move on to the H. The H, I chose happy. Happy is very light energy. It's very yellow. It's got kind of a yellow energy to it, and it's sunshiny. And I'm like, I just am happy. And when I can say the word happy, I start to feel happy. And I think I've done this exercise with you, and you guys can do this exercise and pause this as soon as I give you the instructions and try it on, is to close your eyes and feel how your body feels. Bring your awareness to your body and repeat the word hate 10 times. With emotion. I hate traffic. I hate rain. I hate snow. I hate the barking dog next door. And just try on and then stop after, you know, 7, 8, 10 of them and feel how your body feels. Then kind of clear it. Go, okay, take a deep breath, kind of clear it. Then say the word happy. Say the word love. Say the word wonder and try it on. I wonder. When, you know, there's a detour in the road, I wonder, I love the full moon. I love the smell of grass. I'm staring out my backyard. I love my hammock chair in the sunny and a sunny day. I love incense and feel how it feels. When I say hate, I feel the solid, it's like a plate, it's like the solid energy in my heart. When I say love, it's got a lot of flow and air and movement to it, and it feels good. I want you to understand that words have energy, especially emotional words. And when we use emotional words, you're going to create an emotional state that matches that frequency. And if, you know, they tell me my podcast platform is taking a dive and it's going the way, I can sit here and go, God, I really hate technology. And it's what it creates this crappy energy. It kinks the hose. But I'm going to say, I wonder what good is going to come of this. I'm happy that divine intervention is intervening in my life and is, you know, helping me to take a detour. So the other H words, and I'm going to encourage you and invite you to try on different words for each of these letters. So I chose happy, but I also wrote down hopeful, harmony, and healed. Now, when I think of the world and I think of however I feel when I, like when my back is hurting or my knees are hurting, you know, that I'm not always so optimistic. I'm not always so amazed, you know, with the world. And sometimes I'm a little bit grumpy or crabby or complainy. But when I feel healed, I can take on the world. I can do anything. And so that's why I chose healed. All right, let's move on to O. The O, I chose optimistic. I like optimistic because it's a nice long word to say. I use it in a lot of my mantras when I do my meditations with my mala beads that I'm optimistic for today. I also like the word outcome, but that's for me as a business owner. I'm always looking for an outcome to things. I chose overjoyed, outgoing, and open. Open is another really good word. I like using those words in meditation. I am open to receiving new things. I'm open to ideas. I'm open to change. I'm open, you know, open is a very, it's opening the hose. It's unkinking. It's allowing life force energy to move through me. And open is a really good word. So I'm just going to invite you to try again. You know, these are some that I found. You can go to Google and you can type in, you know, Google, hey, give me 10 emotional words or positively emotional words that start with the letter O, and they will give you hundreds. And just try them on. And as you say them out loud, you'll get different feelings when you say these words. So I found it to be kind of exciting. All right, the L, I chose love and laughter. Now, I didn't have any other ones, but again, same thing. I invite you to find some L words that you really love. And I love the word love. And then E is my favorite E word is either energized or empowered. And I feel empowered. That just like puts me in the state of, I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim of circumstance. I'm not a victim of my childhood. I'm not a victim of adulthood. I'm not a victim of technology. I am empowered. I'm an empowered woman walking on this planet, and I am open to new experiences. What a great mantra that is. I'm empowered. I'm the driver of my own car. I am the kinker of my own hose. And when I know that, then I can stand back and go, I can laugh at myself, go, there you are again, kinking the hose. I am not. I am empowered. And once we can start trying on these new words, you begin to shift your life. And so empowered was one, energized is a great one, elevated, empathy, and excited. When we're going, this is how I think energetically words were created. When we're going to go somewhere, we're going to Disney or something, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited for vacation. I'm so excited to, you know, to go to the castle, or I'm so excited for the nighttime fireworks, or I'm so excited, whatever. But we use that word excited. It creates excitement in the body. I'm not at Disney at this moment. And actually, it's pouring down rain in my backyard. It's very dreary, gray sky. The grass is sort of starting to, you know, to grow, but there's puddles all over my basketball court. There's, you know, no leaves on the trees. It's kind of gross. But here I am feeling amazing. And I'm using the word excited. And when I use the word excited, my body feels excited. But there's nothing currently going on. I could also go, I'm hating today. I hate the rain. I hate that it's cold. I hate whatever. And I could feel hate. When all I'm doing is standing in this neutral room using different words. So I'm going to invite you. Here's your homework. I'm going to invite you to create your own list of wholeness type words. So each of these words, I want you to plug in different words for each one of these five letters, W-H-O-L-E, and try them on. So I created a list. And in that list, maybe I'm going to use wonder today. Maybe I'm going to use wealthy today. Maybe I'm going to use worthy today. It doesn't matter. You can interchange them because it's about how you feel. The end of the day, it's about how you feel. The next piece of homework is to use these words that you've chosen for that day in some sort of a meditation. Now, I use mala beads. And if you don't know what mala beads are, come over to the Chakras for Beginners group, make a post, or Lady Rising on Facebook and make a post that says, "What the heck are mala beads?" I'll be happy to share with you. We sell mala beads. I make mala beads. That's 108 beads. And you basically use them in a meditation practice. And when you use them in a meditation practice, you're saying that mantra using those emotional words 108 times. The 108 is significant because there's one power. The zero is the gap that is in the quiet, the creative space in your mind, the quiet space. And the eight is infinite possibilities or infinite potential. And when I say that 108 times, no matter what the mantra is, I feel that 100%. I should say 108%. I feel it 100% on the other end. And I have an amazing day every time. So that is my homework for you, is to fill in the gap, then to do some sort of a meditation using that mantra. I love using mala beads because as you pull every single bead towards you and you repeat your mantra 108 times, it is spot on. You don't fall asleep. You don't get distracted. You don't lose focus. You can stay focused. You can stay present with your intention, and you're working with the energy. Because now if I am feeling whole and I'm using all of these words that make me feel whole, that energy fills in those gaps every time. If I am using the words, "You know what I hate," and "I can't stand," and "I'm so irritated," your life is a reflection of those words. So when I stand back and go, okay, if I were to grade my life right now and I were to say, okay, how do I feel on a regular basis? I'd be like, oh, irritated, frustrated, annoyed. Okay. What words do you use the most? Those. Well, that's why you feel that way. So when someone comes up to me and I go, "How's your life?" And they go, "Yeah, it's pretty shitty." I'm going to say, "What kind of words do you use?" Like when you talk about things, they're going to tell me their list of words. And I'm going to go, "That's why your life is shitty. It's because you're using those words." It is so important that we understand the power of our words. And I am right here with you going, you know what? We have to start shifting our words. I want to hear you say about the things you love. Tell me the things you love. Go to my Lady Rising group on Facebook or go to Chakras for Beginners on Facebook. And I want you to make a post that says, "These are the 10 things I love." And I want you to write those 10 things in there. And then I want you to engage the group that says, "Share your 10 things in the comments below." We need to hear more inspiration and more things that we love because we are so conditioned to stand around the water cooler and complain about our life. Now, how to go within. This is the last little bit of homework. So when you go in, I want you to think of your mantra. Use this key to create those words that feel good when you say them. That's the key. Use words that feel good when you say them. Somebody might not think the word "open" feels good to them. I love that word. Like, I can feel my heart open right up. So I'm going to use that word. If you don't like that word, if you like outgoing, use the word outgoing. Whatever words you try on, they should have a great sensation in your body. That becomes your mantra. Now, however you want to do it, you want to get some mala beads, go to the meditationroomtc.com. We have a store that has mala beads. We're happy to ship them out to you. And they're amazing and beautiful and lovely. And they're like the perfect beginner to a meditation practice. So I think in my show notes, there's a link to our room. If you don't know what they are, go to either one of those pages and say, "Hey, what the heck's a mala bead?" I'll be happy to share them with you. But I find if you're a beginner meditation and you are ready to change your life. Now, this is the key. If you are ready to change your life, mala beads were the absolute game changer for me. And I'll be happy to share with you how they work and how amazing they are. But the top complaints about starting a meditation practice are, "I fall asleep, I don't have time, I can't focus, I get distracted, I can't sit still." All of those are completely wiped out with a set of mala beads. Okay. Then what you do is you think of your mantra and then you think of your image. Feel into that energy that is coming into your body. If you're, whatever your word is, whatever your mantra is then think of, if I had this life and I was feeling whole, how would I act? Who would I become? And who would benefit? Those are the big. How would I act? Who would I become? and how would I benefit? I want to end it right here. If you have any questions, you know how to reach me. I hope to see you, and let's become whole. Wow, that may have felt like a lot of information in today's episode, but if you're looking for support and a deeper knowledge of what we talked about today, then let's connect. You can learn more about how I work and how you can work with me. Send me an email to themeditationroomtc@gmail.com, subject line, let's talk. And in the meantime, you can join my online Facebook community, Lady Rising, and mention that you came in through the podcast. I look forward to supporting you and connecting with you there. Thank you for listening. If you liked that episode, please subscribe, like, or write a review. Let me know how that landed with you. If you'd like to support this podcast, please check out in the show notes where you can buy me a chai tea, or you can join my newest podcast membership for exclusive episodes, guided meditations, and transformative exercises that you won't find anywhere else. Bring your journal, open your heart, and let's get ready for some serious transformation.